Please open your Bibles to the book of Acts, the seventh chapter. Acts chapter 7, and in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1157, 1157. We'll read the 23rd verse, and then we'll read responsively verses 30 through 36. Let's stand, please, as is our custom to do at First Baptist Church, for the reading of the Scripture. Let's read that 23rd verse together. Ready? And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Now reading responsively, and if you're using a Schofield Reference Bible, then be prepared to turn the page, but reading responsibly, starting with verse 30 through verse 36. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them, and now come I will send thee into Egypt. This Moses, whom thou art saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel, which appeared to him in the bush. And let's finish together on verse 36. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Let's pray. Father, thank you for that which we've already experienced in this service. What a tender and wonderful and beautiful thing it is to spend time with Thee at what is called the Lord's Supper. And thank You for the songs, the specials. Thank You for the spirit of unity that we experience here in this great church. Thank You for those who stood as visitors and helped them to feel a welcome and a blessing. Now meet with us and help our hearts and minds to be as one as You speak to us through the preaching of Thy Word, in Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to speak to you on this subject. Don't waste your wasted years. Don't waste your wasted years. We read a while ago about Moses being on the backside of the desert for 40 years. Now, Moses wasn't in that desert because he decided to pray for 40 years for God's power. Moses was there because he had killed a man. He fled to the desert. I do not think that God had intended for Moses to stay for 40 long years on that desert. But in the wilderness for 40 years, he stayed. Wasted years. But Moses did not waste those wasted years. I hope you listen to me carefully. Father, as I speak this morning, may You speak to me and through me to the hearts of our people. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask you to sit up straight. Young people will please stop your whispering. Folks who are a little bit weary, would you sit up straight and shake your head a little bit and try to listen carefully? I promise you that as I do every Lord's Supper day, I will not be speaking after 12:10. It is now 11:43. By 12:10, I promise you, by the end of before, I'll be through. I also promise you that we'll be out of this building by 12:30. We always are. We will be again today. Please listen
as I lay the foundation for the message. The Israelites are facing 40 terrible years. They're called years in the wilderness, 40 terrible years. They're facing those years because of disobedience to God, because of their sin, their unwillingness to conquer the promised land that God had promised to give them. And now for 40 years, get that now, 40 years, they have no houses, they have no indoor facilities, they have no kitchens. For 40 years, that's almost as long as I've been preaching in this church. For 40 years, they spent wandering in the wilderness. That means that children that were babies were middle-aged by the time the 40 years was over. They're facing 40 terrible years. They're facing what's called the wilderness of sin, the mountains of Sinai rising to 9,000 feet above sea level. Thorny and rocky they are. They're facing the desert of Paran with its wilderness of wandering. They're facing the jagged mountains of Edom, the wilderness of Shur, the bitter waters of arid Marah. They're facing the danger lurking around every stone, the possibility of wild animals or venomous reptiles, serpents. Heated deserts are their lot, cold mountains, and they had never been here before. A new experience for them, and they're facing 40 long, miserable years. But there was one consolation. Don't leave me now. That consolation was their leader had already been there. Their leader had faced already what they're going to face. Consequently, Moses, their leader, who had spent 40 years, exactly the number of years that they are to spend, Moses had tasted every bitter water, faced every jagged mountain that they had faced. He had sweltered in Paran's desert. He had climbed Horeb's dangerous mountains. He had faced the wild Edomites and the Midianites that they were to face. He had drunk from Marah's bitter waters, the famous drink. He had lived among the desert serpents and mountains' wild animals. He had slept on the desert sand. He knew the desert like he knew the back of his hand. He had fled the wilderness animals and climbed Edom's mountains and been pricked by Sinaitic thorns. Moses knew exactly what these people had to face. So he did not waste those years that he had spent there. Now he must use them to encourage them. He could help them. He could say, I, like you, have been there. I know by past the experience that you're going to face in the future. I know the pain. I know the heat. I know the cold. I know the loneliness. I know the heartache. I know the heartbreak that you're going to face. I have been there. And Moses could help them, encourage them, warn them, admonish them, and teach them. Moses could say, I have been here. It's tough, but you can take it. I know you can take it because I took it, and I know you can take it. It can be done, he could say. You can get to the promised land. I heard a sermon preached years ago entitled Moses Wasted Years, and it was about Moses killing this man and fleeing from the officials and hiding on the desert for 40 years, and it said Moses wasted years. I contend they were not wasted years because Moses did not waste his wasted years. I'm talking to folks today. You have some wasted years. I say, don't waste those wasted years. There are others that are in wasted years now whom you can admonish and help and encourage. There are young people you can warn not to waste their years like you did. There are people that may be headed the direction where you have already been. You can wave the red flag and say, don't do this. I said this morning, if you were not one of those fortunate people who grew up in the church and never tasted liquor and had your first kiss at the altar of marriage and never tasted narcotics and felt the needle in your own vein, your life has somewhat been wasted. Don't waste those. Somebody needs to warn the young people not to taste the dregs of sin. Don't waste your wasted years. He went back with them and led them. He did not waste his wasted years. This, ladies and gentlemen, don't leave me now. This is a ministry that all of us can fulfill. All of us cannot preach behind a pulpit. All of us cannot sing in special numbers. All of us cannot teach like Brother Blackwell can teach or lead a college like Brother Scoff and Dr. Evans and others can lead. All of us can't do this, but all of us have a past. And all of us can use our past to help those who are where we were. And that's what Moses did. The greatest thing that Moses ever did in his life was to say, I've been there 40 years. And not only was I in that wilderness 40 years, but I was there for the same reason you're going to be there. God punished me for my sin for 40 years. Now he's going to punish you for your sin for 40 years. But I've been there, and I'd like to tell you, Israelites, you can take it, and you can make it, and your feet can walk on the sand of the Judean hills, and you can walk up and down the streets of Jerusalem, and you can conquer Jericho, and you can someday enter the promised land. Because I took it, I know you likewise can take it. We can help those who are where we were. We can tell them we know their feeling. We can encourage them to take it and make it. We can help them. Let me say this morning, don't waste your heartache. There's someone who now has the heartache that you once had. Don't waste your wilderness. There's someone now in the wilderness where you once dwelt. Don't waste your desert. There's someone in that desert now. Don't waste your battles. There's someone fighting those same battles now. Don't waste your wasted years. Don't sit down and lament and say, well, I wish I could relive them. You can't relive them. They're behind you. They're wasted. Those nights you'd like to relive cannot be relived. Those bridges cannot be burned. Those memories will never leave you. But bless God, you can help those that are where you once were. Don't waste your wasted years. This is what Dr. Bill Rice did. Dr. Bill Rice and his wife Kathy had a little girl that was deaf. They did not waste that. They built the Bill Rice Ranch for those who have children who are deaf and for the deaf children. That's what the Houstons did in our church who started our ministry with an educable slow. They had a daughter, an adult daughter, who was educable slow, and they wanted to help others who were going through what they had been through, and they started the great Educable Soul Ministry of First Baptist Church of Hammond. We now have hundreds of such people, and that isn't all. There are ministries all over America to the Educable Soul because they did not waste their daughter being Educable Soul. That's what Mel Trotter did. When he stumbled down the streets of Chicago, a vegetable, after having taken the shoes off of his little baby girl's feet and sold them and bought liquor for himself, went to the casket of his little child and took off the shoes off the child's feet and sold those shoes and bought liquor, and was going down the Chicago River to jump in and commit suicide when he heard somebody singing a gospel song. And don't you ever sell short these street services on the Chicago streets. And he stopped and listened, and Mel Trotter was saved. What did he do? He went back and started rescue missions all over the Midwest, probably 30 or 40 rescue missions he started. What was he doing? He was not wasting his wasted years. I'm talking to men this morning who would love to have the testimony of Ed Lapina, love to have the testimony of Jack Scott, love to have the testimony of these men, some of these men who never known deep sin. But it's not your lot. You've tasted the dregs of sin. You've been out there. You know what it's like. Ladies and gentlemen, you can do more than I can to tell people the devil's a liar.
You can do more than I can to keep young people from going there. Wave the red flag. Tell them how rotten the devil is. Tell them how sinful sin is. Tell them how wicked the world is. And warn them. Don't waste those wasted years. Use them to the glory of God like Moses did.
This is what Mrs. Hiles does when she meets with the Hollander wives twice every month during the school year. She's been a wife of a college student. She struggled as they struggle. She's lived under circumstances in which they live. That's what she's doing. She's simply saying that we had it tough like you had it, and you are where we were, and by cracky, well, she wouldn't say that. She's a Christian. But I would, by cracky, you can make it. You can tough it out. And one day you can sit on the front row of the choir with your husband pastoring a successful church. You can make it. What she's saying is, there's somebody where I was. Now they're there. I was there. I'm here. I must go back and I must help them. That's what Moses did. That's what Dr. Paulson did, who served a lifetime on the mission field. And his health would no longer allow him to stay on the mission field. He comes back to America. Is employed by Howard Henderson College and spent the greatest years of his life training those missionary volunteers. There's one not back yonder, Dr. Sigstad, a missionary over in Africa for years and years. And there's another back yonder, a missionary to the Philippine Islands with a Heidenreich. And they're all over the world, over 300 missionaries all over the world from Howard Henderson College. Why? Because one man can stand up before them while they're in college and say, I have been where you're going. What are you doing with your past? It's not enough to praise God that he's forgiven your sins. It's not enough to rejoice that they're under the blood. It's not enough to praise God because they're buried in the deepest sea. That's wonderful. Rejoice in it. But go back and tell the people where you were, who are now there, that they can make it, they can take it, and it can be done. That's what the pastor school is all about. Pastor school is not about an older preacher to tell them how he did it. Pastor school is an older preacher telling them the mistakes he made as a young preacher. That's one reason why preachers listen to me in America. My first church had 19 members with an average attendance of 7. That means if you have anywhere from 19 members to over 100,000 members, I've been there. And I can tell you that I was there. And I can tell a preacher, as I did last Monday night in Ohio, sitting there, and he said to me, we're having problems in the church. He said, folks are leaving. I don't know why they're leaving. We haven't had any open opposition, but we're losing people. He said, preacher, what can I do? And I said, go home, be on topside. Don't get down in the trenches. Stay up on topside. Walk out on the platform and say, everything's all right in my Father's house. I got a letter from him yesterday, read it yesterday. He said, thank you for the advice. It's working. Now, wait a minute. How could I help him? Because I've been there. I had a person leave our church one time. I've been there. I know the heartache of spending 25 years loving somebody and helping somebody. And because maybe I make a mistake or maybe they don't agree with what I've said, they get upset. I understand that. So what am I doing in pastor school? I'm not saying, let me tell you what a perfect preacher has done. I say, let me tell you, I've been where you are. I know what you're going through. I've endured the heartache. I know the battles. I know the hurt. I know the pain. I don't know what you're going to do. I'm going to use my past to go to where I used to be. That's what Moses did. That's what First Baptist Church is all about. Bus kids, your leader has been where you are. Servicemen, your leader has been where you are. One parent children, your leader has been where you are. College students, your leader has been where you are. Those living in poverty, your leader has been where you are. Bereaved one, Brother Ed Lupino and his dear family, your leader has been where you are. Struggling college couple, your leader has been where you are. Apprehensive senior citizen, your leader is now where you are. Young people with an alcoholic dad, your leader has been where you are. Mission men,
Your leader has had a father who stayed in missions at night. Street people, your leader has had a father who slept on the street night after night, drunk on the street. I've been there. And bless God, I'm not going to look at my past and say, wish I could have had a Christian daddy. Wish I could have had a daddy and mama that stayed together. Well, I didn't. I can't do anything about it, but I can go to those who are now where I used to be and lift them and encourage them like Moses did.
That's what Larry Smith, Dr. Sprunger, Doug Kalett, these men that used to pastor, they're now in Howells Anderson College, telling you preacher boys, they've been there, helping to train you to make the right decisions they made and not make the wrong decisions they made. That's what it's all about. And I don't care what your past is, you have one. Don't waste it. Somebody said, use your life now. Yeah, and use your life in the past also. Moses! They stand up and say, folks, you're going to face some tough times, but there won't be a place where the sole of your foot touches that the sole of my foot hasn't touched. There won't be a fear that your heart feels that my heart hasn't felt. There won't be the heat of a blistering day that hasn't also blistered on me. There won't be a wild animal, a time that a wild animal frightens you to the death that hasn't frightened me. I've been there. 40 years I've been there. And you can make it. And I want to say this morning, so can you. There are not many circumstances in this room where I have not been. I want to say this morning, you can make it. So, how about you college wives who've been here 2 and 3 and 4 years? How about you deciding a new ministry, encouraging the ones that are on their way now for this semester? Or are you going to sit there and complain and gripe because the problems you've got? There's somebody just got here. There's some college couples here now have never enrolled in Howells College that enrolled for the freshman class this year. Hey, there's a ministry that you can perform and fulfill of encouraging those who now are where you were. Quit feeling sorry for yourself and feel sorry for them. You college students, as the freshmen come in, this dirty generation we've got of hazing freshmen. How about praising freshmen? I wouldn't give you a dime for that. This hazing freshman. God have mercy on this wicked generation. Ought to put our arms of love around them. And I'm not talking about boys and girls now. Ms. Al and I were driving through Howells Anderson College campus the other day. I love those little benches we have out there. We have little benches where boys and girls can date. But here's the end of the bench and here's the end of the bench and right in the middle is a piece of lumber. Now they're both sitting on this side. But look, in just a few days, fearful, frightened, lonesome, homesick, youngsters are coming to Howells Anderson College. And you can have a ministry. You can do what Moses did. You can say, I've been where you are. I know the wilderness through which you're traveling. I know your lonesome. I know your loneliness, and I know your sadness, and I know your homesickness. I've been there, but you can make it. You who lost a mate. How about you helping those who lose a mate? You high school students, how about helping the freshmen that are coming from junior high? Quit being so selfish. Those that will be freshmen in high school, remember how you were. Encourage them. Be a friend to them. How about you abandoned wives? There are other wives who are where you used to be. Their husbands left them. How about you encouraging them and letting them know that they can make it, that there's a God in heaven, there's a book that God has written, and there's a Holy Spirit that God has given to us to comfort us and strengthen us. How about you who have grown children babysitting for a college wife? I'm not talking about you. How about some of you middle-aged people? Your kids are grown now. How about you going up to a college wife and saying, how about you and your husband taking a night off and let me take care of the kids? How about you who have fought a disease up in those who now suffer? Whatever wilderness you were in, somebody is in it now. Did you hear me? Whatever wilderness you were in, somebody is in it now. And nobody can help them and strengthen them like you can because you've been there. You have no idea what Judge Clement back there has meant to Bill Burr, who's fighting the same cancer that Judge Clement fought. You have no idea. Bill Burr said to me, he said, Judge Clement came to me and told me, you can make it. And told him what he did. That's what I'm talking about. Right. Mrs. Howes and I were in North Carolina. I was a paratrooper. We didn't have a car for the first year, 3 years we got married. We were married, didn't have a car. Had a couple from Arkansas. His name was Arlie, her name was Betty. Hillbillies, just like all Arkansas people are. Though these were better than the Arkansas people that moved up to the Washington. But Arlie and Betty. Arlie? What's y'all, Betty? Except they had a car. And one day Arlie came to me and said, Jack, I said, call me Dr. Hounds, Arlie. He said, Jack, you and Beverly don't have a car. We'd like you to use ours. And they gave us a car. And we had a date one night, went all the way from Fayetteville to Raleigh. About 60 miles in a car. Say, what did you do? It's none of your business what we did. We would have gotten expelled from Howells Anderson, but Arlie said to me, when we first got here, we didn't have a car either. That's what I'm talking about. We're walking down the street one day in Fayetteville, and I was a paratrooper from his house with me. A guy named Beatty, B-E-A-T-T-Y, Beatty, walked up and said, you don't know me, but he said, you and your wife just got here, haven't you? And I said, yes. He said, my wife and I have been here for 2 years. I remember we first got here. What a tough time we had. And he said, I'm giving you $10. I said, why? He said, because you just got here and because... Well, I said, why did you choose us? Other folks have just gotten here too. He said, because you got the prettiest wife on in the camp. She's still pretty. But he said, you said, but I don't have wasted years. But there's somebody, I don't care where you are, there's somebody who's where you were. I don't care where you've been, there's somebody who's there now. And you can help them. Years ago, and I hate to even tell you this, but I want you to know I'm not perfect, and sometimes it's hard to believe that. Years ago, when I was a kid preacher, I had a little church in the country. I was 21 years old, and we were growing like wildfire. I was asked at age 21 to speak at a pastor's conference to about 50 pastors. I was a cocky young buck. And by the way, don't criticize too much these wild Indians here at Howells Anderson College. You harness that wildness, and they'll do something someday. But I spoke at this pastor's conference, about 50 pastors there. And I walked up, and I said, would everybody stand, please? All the pastors stood. I said, now, those that have your Bibles, be seated. Anybody listening to me? Three or four sat down. And I, 21 years of age, young pastor, said to these seasoned pastors, aren't you ashamed of yourselves? Come to church without a Bible. Boy, they got mad at me, but one old preacher, about 73 years old, he walked up to me and put his hand on my shoulder after I'd spoken. And he said, young man, I used to be like that. I used to be like that. He said, one day you will channel that courage. Do you hear me? One day you will channel that courage and not be like that. I'm looking forward to that day. I spent 17 years in poverty. I don't plan to waste those years. I spent 2.5 years in the armed forces. I don't plan to waste those years. I spent 5 years pastoring country churches. I don't plan to waste those years. I spent 52 years pastoring Baptist churches. I don't plan to waste those years. I have made scores of mistakes. Scores of mistakes. I don't plan to waste them. I plan to tell young preachers about the mistakes that I've made, hoping that as they go through the wilderness of the ministry, I can encourage them. There's somebody today where you were. But here you plunge forward, looking forward about thinking about yourself. What am I going to do tomorrow? And what am I going to do now? And how am I going to make it? And how can I have fun? I, we, ours, us. And all the time behind you, there are people back there who are exactly where you once were. Don't waste those years. Don't waste those sins that you wish you had not committed. Don't waste those nights that you wish you had to live, could live over again. Don't waste them. Whatever your past is, somebody is there now. Use your past. Don't waste those wasted years. Our Heavenly Father.